We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to hear this story that was just referenced in the children's message of Peter and John and this crippled beggar. Let's pray. Lord, as we read Scripture, we see you doing some pretty incredible things, and we're reminded of what you've done in our lives, that for all of us, we have things we could look back on and see miracles taking place, a lot like what's happening back then in the book of Acts. Help us to never be discouraged. Brought us eternal life because of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not too sure how these new parents must have felt. But here they are, excited that a baby is coming into the world. And as they prepare, they start thinking, like most new parents, they're thinking to themselves, well, what is my child going to do when they get older? Will my child follow in the father's footsteps and be whatever he is? Or maybe it's a daughter that is going to be born, and who is this daughter going to marry later on in life? And you start dreaming. And those dreams, you start planning, thinking, well, how can we make different plans available so that this child will just grow up the way God would want them to grow up? Comes time for the mom to give birth. And after she gives birth, there is something wrong with the child. It's a boy. So the father starts thinking, oh, what is his name going to be? And, you know, how are we going to play together? And can I teach him what I know? And how is his life going to be? And is he going to run with other kids and play catch? And what's his life going to be like? But all those dreams start slowly fading away when he realizes his child's legs are not moving. The rest of his body is operating pretty well. The arms are pumping away like babies do, like, yeah, let me go. The lungs seem to be working pretty nice. They're screaming and sounds pretty darn clear. And his eyes are opening and he seems to be reacting to noise. So, hey, great. Oh, he's not blind or deaf. And got the lung capacity, and his arms are moving, but his legs are completely and utterly lifeless. Now, all of a sudden, some new things start coming into mind. How are we going to take care of this child? What happens if we as parents die and our child lives on? What kind of life is this child going to live? And then you start imagining what it must have been for the child. As he continues to grow up, there's not a lot of stuff for him to do. And this child is growing up at a time when there are no such things as wheelchairs or ADA compliant ramps. There's no such thing as disability income or social security. As this child grows up, do the parents think maybe we should have just gotten rid of the child? Maybe we can find a way to leave the child on the side of the road and hope and pray that maybe someone comes and picks him up? Or he'll just die out there exposed to the elements. And then you're this kid and you're wondering, well, what am I going to do? I can't do what my father's been doing. And this kid watches as all these other kids are running around and playing. All of these wonderful opportunities to learn the Torah and learn about the goodness and graciousness of Yahweh. But there's no way he will become a rabbi. There's no way he will become a person who gives out religious instruction. As the child grows up, they start realizing how different they are, because when mom and dad and maybe other siblings have the opportunity to go into the temple courts, the book of Leviticus makes it clear he's not allowed in there. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Do you have any idea what it's like to be told you can't go to church? Maybe you feel this way. Now you kind of start understanding a little bit more of what this guy is feeling like. It's very possible that this particular gentleman has lost his parents. Longevity in people's lives was just something that was kind of unheard of. People just didn't live a long age. And we don't see this guy's parents, but we do see his friends. And when we encounter this guy, he is 40 years old. We know this because later on it actually tells us his age. The story is it's really the launching of an extended story that takes two chapters. We're only going to be covering the first 10 verses today because I wanted to make sure we give credit and give due to the text. But this is a guy who is now relying on Social Security. The Social Security in that day was you would go to the temple, not being allowed inside because no deformities are allowed inside the temple. And you would sit outside the temple and you would wait for the prayer times. And people would go to church three times a day. So don't be telling me that once a week is too much, okay? I just can't take it. You could get there to church. They would go three times a day for the prayers. And when they went to pray, as they came out, that's where they would usually find people who were deformed, blind, lame, unable to walk, unable to talk, unable to find gainful employment in any way, shape, or form. And so the only way they could survive is if someone coming out from church would be so kind as to give them a little bit of money so that maybe they could eat some food that day. That was it. I don't know exactly when he started begging at the temple. There is a good chance this man met Jesus in some way, shape, or form. Which, of course, brings up a very interesting question. Why didn't Jesus heal him? Which, of course, answers one of our other very important questions when it comes to healing miracles, which is, not everyone gets healed. As he has been at this temple for all these years, I'm sure Jesus passed by, and every time I wonder if Jesus is like looking at this guy. No, I don't know if he said, sorry, man, but I wonder if he looked at him and said, you have no idea how good it's going to get for you. Just wait. It's going to be incredible. But you have to wait. You have to wait for the right time. And this guy would be brought in by his friends and laid there, and maybe he was there all day. Maybe it started early in the morning. You got 9 o'clock, you got noon, and you got 3, the 3 times to go to the temple to pray. I mean, did they just set him there early in the morning and be like, okay, we'll be back later on the evening to pick you up and maybe use some money? Did they charge him? Did they say, hey, it takes a lot for us to move you, so you're going to give us a portion of whatever you made at the temple? But this was this guy's daily routine. And after a while, you would probably start despairing. You would probably start thinking to yourself, my life is not going to get any better than what it is now. And it's very simple to get caught in that. People say, well, I don't have a lot of money, and it just seems like that's how it's going to be for the rest of my life. Some people say, I got divorced, and that's it. That's my life forever. I'm just going to be known as that divorced person. Maybe you had someone significant in your life die, and that person is now, it's defined you. You have become that. So this is the kind of the background of the story of Acts chapter 3. So hopefully, again, you've turned there. I think this is a great thing. A great story. One day, Peter and John, which is fascinating. We got both Peter and John in this story. Peter is kind of the main person being spoken about throughout the opening parts of Acts. This is a time when the focus of the early church and Peter and all of his stuff, the last part of the book of Acts, is mainly devoted to Paul. Paul is the one that is highlighted. But we got Peter, and we got John, which is interesting. We got Peter. John isn't spoken about a whole lot, though he's pretty important in the early church. And Peter and John, it does tell us a little bit about public ministry and how people often did that together. Peter and John, they're going up to the temple at the time of the prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth, and it's very interesting that the text actually says he was crippled from the time he was in the womb. So this is not going to be one of those, oh, I have this feeling that there's someone over in this section who is maybe suffering with an ailment that's somewhere around here. Oh, you have a heart problem. Oh, you have, yes, somewhere over here. And with this magical word spoken, and how can we verify? Did something actually take place as he called for healing? We have no idea. Was it a real miracle or not? This is not it. This is a guy who everybody knew. Everyone was aware of him. Everyone knew that he was crippled from birth. They'd probably seen him at the temple, I don't know how long. So this isn't one of those plants where someone gets healed and we don't know about it. This is for certain. This guy has been crippled from birth. And he was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Every day. Every day, people passed him by. Maybe Jesus passed him by, which tells us again, amazing that timing is everything. And I don't know, again, as he sat there and he watched people go in, did he ever long to say, well, what's inside those walls? What does it look like inside the church? But I'm not welcome in the church. And I know people struggle with that today, too. I think there's a lot of people outside of the boundaries of Christianity who have been somehow prevented, shamed, guilted, told, you're not welcome here. We don't want you here. Stay away. But that's, this guy has faced his whole life. And there he is begging. And then verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now I want you, because I think I have a picture of what's going on here, and I think this is a beautiful picture. Now, what do you do if you are begging for money from people walking by? What's the natural stance that you are going to take? Hand outstretched, cup the hand, don't know, is he going to drop maybe some food in there, maybe a piece of bread, maybe some coins. And so Peter and John walking by, the guy sees them, and he starts putting out his hand. But of course, you can't focus just on Peter and John, right? Because there's a lot of people walking by, and if Peter and John don't give you money, what do you need to do? Well, maybe the next guy, or the next person, or the next. So, you know, he's scanning, he's looking around, he's like, hello, and he's seen people, and he's got his hand out. All right, so you got that image? Here we go. He asked them for money. But then it's very interesting because he quickly loses his gaze with Peter and John, because this is what the text says. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, which this is an interesting, we're not sure exactly what's taken place, but it's that they look at him and they hold the gaze. And I've been dying, like, what is it that they are seeing? Most people are in agreement that this was this ability, this godly ability with miracles, to be able to look at someone and somehow see God is going to do something amazing in this person's life. If you ever want to study an interesting passage, John chapter 5, 19, it says this. Jesus said, look, I don't go around doing things, miracles, because I can. I only do those things I see my Father doing. Does that just blow your mind a little bit? Like, this is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. But even Jesus, subjected to the Father, submissive to the Father, following the obedience of the Father, Jesus would look at people. And there's many a times, especially in the book of Acts, where that's what happens. They look at him and they just kind of stare at him. And they're trying to figure out, am I seeing something? And Peter and John saw something. And as they're intently looking at him, then Peter said, look at us. Look at us. What are you going to look at? And this guy, so this man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. This is fantastic. I do wonder, is this a call somewhat of faith? What is this guy going to do? Because if he stops looking at the crowd and focuses only on Peter and John, could he possibly lose out on some money? Yeah, I mean, this is a dangerous thing to do. Only look at you. There's five people that just walked by. Grand. Okay. But this guy is going to listen. And it makes you wonder what was happening. When they caught each other's eye, did this guy only think, well, I'm going to get some money, and because he's making me focus on this, he's going to give me a lot of money? He's thinking he's going to get something. But it's this trust that he's putting his hand out, and now his hand is still outstretched. And he says, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. Now, of course, you got the King James Version, which is what we sang. So, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. That's such a strange phrase, but did you get what? Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Yeah, good. So this is what he's saying. I don't have money. I can't give you that. And I'm wondering at that point if the guy's like, yeah, but this guy, he's still engaged. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes we don't have what other people want. But I promise you, we do have what other people need. That, I think, is an important thing. I think a lot of Christians struggle with, what can I give to other people? Some people, they're so guilt-ridden that they figure out, oh, I've got to give some sort of monetary gift. Maybe they're driving by, they see someone on the street corner, they're asking for food, it's got the phrase, God bless, so I feel obligated, I need to give. Other people, they're like, I really need a place to stay, or I really need a good Bible study to go to, or I really just need a brand new Bible, do you have that? And sometimes people have these requests, these wants that they have, and we as people wonder, well, what do we give them? Is money the best thing to give? Is time the best thing to give? Is just a kind word the best thing to give? And I think we as Christians really struggle with this. Because you may be saying, well, I don't got any money. I can't offer any money to anyone else. Well, I don't have a place for anyone to stay. I'm cramped in my one-bedroom apartment with five people, and we just don't have enough room to even bring someone else in. And you guys, I know I sometimes focus on what I am unable to give. And maybe we need to stop worrying about what we can't give. And let's start giving what we have. And what is it that we have? We have Jesus. We have Jesus. Question, the same power, the same spirit that worked back in Peter's day, is still around today? Yes, we sometimes wonder, well, maybe that was kind of a cool thing back then. Now, again, That timing is everything. People are like, well, that means I should be able to go up to any crippled person and say, be healed, and watch their legs get strong and everything's good. That may not happen. Why? Because timing sometimes is everything. How many times did Jesus walk by this guy? And again, maybe it is what Joshua said. Sorry, my dude, can't do anything right now. Because God the Father wasn't doing things in his life right then and there. It was going to be something later on. God needed to establish his church. He needed to establish the authority of these disciples. He needed to establish the power of Jesus Christ. He needed to establish what the church had, and so this guy had to wait. So you may not have silver or gold. You may not even have the ability to look at someone and see if they can be healed. But there is something you have, and that is you have the name of Jesus. You have the power of Jesus. You have faith, and at the end of the day, which is the most important thing to give? Simply silver or gold? Scrap of food? Good Bible? Or maybe what we have is the exact thing that they need, which is they need Jesus Christ. And that's why this story, I don't want to dive too far into that, because that's going to be the rest of the story, is, spoiler alert, Peter and John get thrown into jail for this whole thing. Spoiler alert, you're like, wait, it does? Yeah, the Bible is actually really exciting. I like it. Spoiler alert. Yeah, I love that one thing. What is it? The guy's reading the Bible and says, oh my gosh, they just killed off the main character. And they're like, well, hold on. Yeah, he's back. What? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Spoiler alert. All right. So, silver or gold, I do not have, but what I have, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you something even better than silver, better than gold, better than food, better than anything else. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, if you want to do something fun with your Bibles, I did this the last time I went through Acts 3 and 4, and I was surprised. Again, it was fun to look at it. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. 9 times. Spoken in chapters 3 and 4. You can underline them as we go along, check my math, see if I did it right. I just took it from someone else, but then I think I remember I counted. I thought it was fantastic. Which is why we're going to be focusing a little bit on the name of Jesus, especially in the coming weeks. Some of the songs we're going to be choosing are going to focus on the name of Christ. Again, is he saying, you know what? I feel I have the power. I've got the power. No. It's not about me. It's not about my power. It's not about my faith, though I will say that Peter's faith was pretty darn impressive, wouldn't you say? But he is focused solely and completely on the fact that this is God is going to do a work in you. God is going to do something for you. And let me tell you, I think, again, this is one of the best pictures of what it means to even receive faith. Martin Luther said it cleanly and beautifully. We are all beggars with our hands outstretched, waiting to receive from God. We don't receive because we are doing something special that warrants the attention. It's not because we even outstretched our arms. It's the fact that God, in all of his goodness and his graciousness, poured out his love and mercy in our lives. People start realizing it, the more you get into it, the more depraved we are. The older I get, the more I realize just how nasty we all are. And that there is nothing really that's good about us, but the fact that God loves us and cares for us. And he pours out his mercy freely, not because of anything I did, but only because of Jesus Christ. So he's got his hand. Now again, I love this, because you know what I would have done if I were Peter? Again, I don't have the gift of healing, so if y'all are like in trouble, I'll pray for you, and I'll always do it, because I think we're supposed to, right? If you're sick, I'm going to pray for you. But Peter, he knew. When he looked at this guy, I don't know what he saw, but he knew this guy was going to walk. I don't know if it was kind of like a Nicolas Cage movie, and he could see like the next 10 seconds of like, isn't that called Next, I believe is the movie? And he could see in a little bit into what could happen based on his choices. But alas, he knew it, because he reached out his hand and he said, well, now if it was me, I'd be like, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And then I'd walk away quickly. Because if something bad happened, I'd be like 20 steps down the road, and you know, and then of course, right? Yeah. What is he going to do? Like, if it didn't work, is he going to like hobble after me? No. And you know what? The best part is, what I would definitely do at that point is say the reason why the healing didn't happen was you didn't have enough faith. Is this about our faith, or is this about Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. But Peter knew, and he's like, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And what does he do? Taking him by the right hand. Again, here's this guy like, hoping for money, can you give me something? And here comes Peter saying, I got something better. And he reaches out and he grabs his hand. And what? Now, again, reminder, how strong are this guy's muscles? There's strings in his legs. Super buff up top, right? Because he's got to move around, use his arms. Legs, nothing. Nothing. So even if this guy all of a sudden felt somehow those connections happened and he could feel his legs and he got feeling back in his legs, is he going to be able to walk? Of course not. But of course, Jesus. Taken by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Isn't that crazy? Like, have you ever been sitting there because you've been binge-watching your Netflix, and all of a sudden you like have to go to the bathroom, and you stand up, and you're like, oh, my legs. This guy has been sitting 40 years, never once knew what it was like to feel his legs. And he stands up, and he becomes strong. And what does he do, verse 8? He jumped to his feet. I mean, can you get this picture? Wouldn't you do that? Like, if you couldn't do something, and all of a sudden, like, do you know how to click your heels? Does anyone know how to click their heels? Like, I can't click. Yeah, jump and click. Like, that's what I imagine this guy. He's jumping around. He's leaping around for joy. Maybe clicking his ankles. I don't know. Maybe not. No, I'm not going to try it because I'm probably going to die. And then some of you are going to have to be like, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And I'll be like, my ankle. This guy is jumping around. What he does next, by the way, is just, to me, really crazy, especially starting verse 11, which we're not going to get to. But I just, it's amazing. Then he went with them into the temple courts. Now again, what would you have done first thing you could walk? I don't know. Maybe I'd be thinking to myself, hey, now I can get a girlfriend and maybe get a wife and maybe have children. Are his parents still alive? If his parents are still alive, what would you do? I'd be like, woo, you know. All of a sudden, Vangelis starts playing. Da, na, 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 na. It would be incredible. But where is the first place this guy goes? Church. I'm sure it's just fascinating. Like, I've never seen the inside of the church. I think it's incredible. He gets to see stuff that he's only dreamed of. He's gotten back to church. I love it. And went in the temple courts, and what was he doing? He was walking and leaping. It says jumping, but I like the walking and leaping and praising God. And what did all of the people inside the temple court start doing? Oh my gosh, dude, calm down. What the heck's wrong with you? We're all jumping all over the place. Dude, you're all excited. Yep. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping some people will be like, Jeff? Dude, holy cow. Now, hopefully, maybe they started walking and leaping and praising. There's ways we can all, again, the people who have received some of these, the most incredible gifts from God, are the ones who are the most excited. I mean, Jesus said it best when he was anointed with oil, and this woman's sins has been forgiven much, and because she has been forgiven much, she is grateful much. And I think sometimes we lose a little bit of the side of being grateful, because we've taken a lot of what God has done for us for granted. I know that's one of my sins. I fall into that trap frequently. Instead of remembering all that God has done for me, I just take it all for granted. But walking and leaping and praising God, maybe we need to get just a wee bit more excited about our faith. That's what this guy does. And I think it's amazing. And then, of course, verse 9, Josh, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. For some of you who may be watching or listening, maybe you've never really felt or experienced the power of God. Maybe stuff has happened in your life and you feel that this is it, this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. What we learn from this is there's many a times that Jesus' power comes about at the right time when it needs to come about. For Paul, whatever thorn he had in the flesh never happened. He fought with that forever. Some of you, he may never heal. He may never make whole. Some of you who have maybe gotten divorced, you may remain divorced the rest of your life. Some of you maybe have lost a child. You'll never get over that, period. It's going to be with you. Those scars are always going to be present. Some of you who are single, you might be single for the rest of your life. You're like, no! But know this. God is perfect in his timing. He loves you very much. And he has done something greater than any of those things. And that is, he has given you Jesus Christ. He's given you salvation, which is greater than anything. So for those of you who may be wondering, gosh, what do I say to my friend who is struggling and they don't seem to have any hope? I don't want to give them false hope. I mean, maybe their circumstances won't change for the rest of their life. Yeah, that's possible. But you can still give them something. Some of you, I don't have enough money to help all of the beggars that are on the sides of the street. Yeah, you're right. You may not. You might not have the words to say to that friend who's contemplating suicide. But you do have something. We all have something. We have Jesus. And we can say, we too are like that beggar with our hand outstretched saying, Lord, please. And know this, that everyone who comes to the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. He doesn't refuse anyone's plea when it comes to mercy for the forgiveness of sins. He promises you that there will come a day when you will be made whole. Maybe in the right timing here on earth, but if not then, in heaven, when we will all walk and leap and praise God. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have him. Lord, I pray for those who have maybe not gone to church in a while. Maybe they're just tuning in because they're like, this will be a great way to check things out. And they wonder, am I welcome in the church? Like this guy, maybe they've had a lot of problems. Maybe they're wondering if other people will look down on them. May they know when you come to church that we are just all beggars. We just know where the food's at because we know Jesus Christ. So, Lord, for those who are struggling without hope, those who are struggling with despair, may they feebly reach out their hand. And may you grasp it, Lord. May you do what you wish that will be important for them in their life. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, so now's the time that we are going to do off-site communion.